All right. Your favorite part of the day, the central committee meeting.
Find out all the good stuff going on.
All right. The minutes were in the last issue of the newsletter. Does anybody have any corrections, additions, or questions or comments about the minutes from the last central committee meeting, which I believe was the picnic, Robert?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing no objections, therefore the minutes are passed. Officers' reports, credentials committee, Dr. Glazer.
Do you want me to read the names of the committee members or not?
Please.
Dean Ahmad. Ward Roder, Lorenzo Belsignaga, Susan Belsignaga, Robert Glazer, Mark Rannick, Bob Johnson, Ron King, Peter Lancaster, Mike Glinder, Tom Mathers, Doug McNeil, Darlene Nicholas, Alan Nicholas Foster, George Reynolds Foster, Stuart Sims, Scott Spencer, Arvin Boro, Mike Calpina, Walter Siegel.
Is there anyone whose names were not called who is a an Maryland Libertarian Party member?
That's a central committee member.
Central committee member. Right, but I want to say if somebody may not know.
No.
Yes. In other words, you could be a member of the party without being a central committee member. You have to be a central committee member to vote. Okay, very good. Mr. Linder, the treasurer's report.
That's just
the I'm sorry.
So the credentials committee, which consisted of myself, Dog, and Mark, validate that we have 19 central committee members present plus two proxies, and the vote consists of 34 members.
Very good. Thank you. Treasurer's report, Mr. Linder.
Hey, does everybody have a copy of the anybody need a little bit more time, I'll give them time, but just start off with, since the picnic on August 18th, that we won, anytime I broke it out, so you can tell between the pipe and the mains, click and pledge, or check off with the cash, and as you can see, there are the numbers, and then I broke out the ballot access income. Had a huge amount come from the Libertarian National Committee, so we had to thank them. And go further down, expenses for the ballot access. And that's really what we paid to date. We do owe more. Depends on how many signatures they collect. And then the rest of the expenses are pretty much typical of what we had in the past in terms of type or whatever. And going down further was the balance that day we had the picnic, and what today's closing, the closing balance was yesterday in Bank of America, $1,500, the federal account $1,200, and administrative account $472. And if I read click and press correctly yesterday, they stole $1,000. I have $1,000 in check as of yesterday. I get more today, too. And at this point, there are, quote, no bills to be paid, meaning I did not receive a bill and did not pay it. But I will have a bill for this convention, but I'll put that on next report plus any new additional signatures gathered after today. So we still do have two fairly big expenses coming up. And
if I may put in real quick, Michael,
mm-hmm.
at the bottom it says $4,120. I wish we did. We do not have that much money in the account yet. There will be a bill for roughly about $1,325 for Squires, $975 for signatures being counted and collected right now, which I will get into during the chair's report, and $835 that we also owe for prior signatures. So once you subtract that from the $4,120, we should have $985. With all bills paid. After the signatures and the convention, we will be at just under $1,000.
So, anybody? Yes.
What was WBAL radio?
We had an election back in November. Now it's I mean, it was the federal.
Okay, that was the ads for the congressional candidates.
Congressional candidates, yes. That's what I gave to the record. I gave it a federal account. And the only thing here I might point out is the outreach effort, House and Town Festival, which will occur May 1st, so we had to make a deposit about the end of January. House of Town Fest, we didn't participate last year because they were outrageously priced and it came down this year, so we decided to get back in it. So that actually was prepaying of the bill.
Is that what the total bill is
going to
be, 400 or is it
400? That's what we gave
for another 400. Yeah, usually it was 900 last year, but they brought it back down to
300. Yeah, well, I understand it's 400 more, yes, but there's more to come.
Right.
And to answer your question, that was 400, I understand it would be the total amount. I'm not expecting to build 500. Anybody have any further questions? Had a chance to look at them.
Go behind you, Ron.
Got a question, Doug. Point of curiosity, approximately how many paid petition collectors were there? How many signatures?
I'll bring that up in a minute or two.
Anything to do with my numbers here or? Now, if anybody has asked this last time a different way of presenting it, let me know. I thought that's why it didn't file action the last time we had it. Kind of separates it out, kind of gives you a better idea for the lumping of other income expenses. So,
Michael.
That way
Michael, for the question, I'd like to move to
second. Okay. Any other questions before? Okay, very good. Thank you, Michael. Chair's report. Membership right now is at 102. It has been hanging steady around 100 for the last year or so. I've been aggressive in contacting people who have not renewed over the last year. The registration currently is at 9,282 in the state of Maryland. This is a 10% growth just from last July. If we get through this ballot access drive successfully, we'll be at 10,000, you know, before the end of the year. So we are moving quite well in accumulating registered voters. We're still a long ways away from getting the 1%, but at the rate we're going, we could get 1% in less than 10 years. I would also hope that by that point we would have been able to maybe get some legislative action going where we can get that limitation down. 1% is a very high rate, but nonetheless, we are growing at a very nice clip in registered voters.
About 26,138.
I'm sorry?
1%.
1%, correct. We're at 35,000 or something like that. But I mean, we had 8,500 around July or August, so, you know, we're picking them up, and this is after an election, and we're still getting 100 to 150 a month, and that will increase with the presidential election coming next year, which leads to ballot access. In January, we turned in 13,787 petition signatures. There was a court case that had overturned the current signature standard, but the Court of Appeals had never ruled what to do in place of that. So they were in limbo as to which signature standard to use. So they gave a 60-day moratorium before counting the signatures and allowed us to turn in more. Currently, I have about another 100 or so on hand. In addition, we got some funding from the national chair, Mark Hinkle, to get another 1,975 signatures, and also due to the generosity of the Gastañagas, who gave us another $1,000 to pick up another 500 signatures. So we will be turning in roughly 14,900 signatures by March the 16th. That is the final turn-in day I can turn in signatures. The Board of Elections has already started counting. They started on Monday, March the 7th. They have 20 days to finish counting. So we'll know by then. I will tell you right now, I am not sanguine in the least about our chances to get the 10,000 certified signatures of the almost 15,000 we turned in because of the difficulty of the signature standard. It used to be a very reasonable way to get it done. You could put Bob Johnston, Robert Johnston, Robert S. Johnston, as long as the address and the birth date matched up, you were fine. And we didn't have a problem getting the ballot access through in 2007. Now it must say Robert S. Johnston III, and the signature must exactly match the printed name. which the printed name must be on your voter registration card. People, when you're in a mall or you're outside at the DMV getting signatures, people are not going to pull out their voter registration card when they're signing the petition to make sure their name is exactly as printed. And half the signatures, let's face it, are illegible. You know, there's a straight line of like something on a CAT scan or something like that. So I'm not feeling good about this nonetheless. The Green Party is in a very similar situation. They turned in a very similar number of signatures, probably within a couple hundred of us, in the high 14,000. In light of that situation, we are considering preparing for a lawsuit with the Green Party. And Doug McNeil, they will be a meeting tomorrow at Brian Bittner of the Green Party. Doug has more information on that.
Yeah, I've been working with the Green Party on this. We're expecting, as Bob says, that both parties are going to lose political party certification. And this new standard is so hard that almost nobody can make it. We've organized an emergency meeting, a joint meeting between the Libertarian Party and the Green Party tomorrow at 11 a.m. We have many people in the party, many people in the room with a lot of previous experience in ballot access issues. If you can come to the meeting, we would love to have you. We already have three or four attorneys working on this case. We think we're probably going to have to sue them to avoid losing party certification and also losing our registered voters. These 9,000 registered voters are a huge asset to the party. And we're afraid that we're going to lose them. So if we have a good case, I won't go into details on this, talk to you later. But if you can make the meeting, if you're interested in working on this issue, this is crucially important. We lose this one, we're dead as a party. Only the Democrats and Republicans are going to be able to run candidates. Now, we think that the Maryland Court of Appeals, which is Maryland Supreme Court, is on the verge of overturning its own earlier decision now that they've had a chance to see what a complete disaster it is. They almost destroyed the right of petition in Maryland. There are several petition drives that have failed that have turned in signatures that would have normally been enough, and they've got validity rates of 20% or less. It's a catastrophe for us. Now it's time for the parties to certify and get recertified. We're a little more organized than independent candidates that have also failed or even petition drives. And we got to win this one. Both us and the Green Party, we're through as the political parties in Maryland. I've worked with the Greens for the last 15 years very closely on ballot access issues. A number of people in this room have testified. Susan testified, Spears testified, Steve Boone also testified, and myself testified in a lawsuit that the party has brought that were successful and made things easier for both of us. The Green Party, you may not like them, you may not like their positions, you may not trust them, but I trust them because I worked with them for many, many years, and their interests are exactly identical to ours. So there's a joint meeting between the Libertarian and the Green Party tomorrow to talk about our legal strategy. And we are, especially if you have experience in ballot access, if you make it to this meeting, come see me afterward. I have printed directions to where the meeting is being held.
Just a quick question. Ted, what do you really want to do?
I'm sorry?
If one of us attends, what are we really going to do? I would sit there and listen to it. Then there's more or less the people who are called this meeting to remote the job.
Brian Bittner, who is the chairman of the Maryland Green Party, he and I and others, Mark is planning to come. Mark is generously agreed to work on this case. And we're going to talk about our legal options, our legal strategy, and what we're going to do. It would be particularly helpful if those of you with ballot experience and with knowledge of the law, people like me and others, would be able to come to contribute to this meeting. How should we approach this? What claims should be made? things like that. So if you're interested in coming to the meeting, and you believe you have something to contribute, or if you just want to get more involved in this issue, work on it, come see me afterwards, and I'll give you direction next meeting. Gene.
I'm sorry I won't be able to go through a conflict, and I'll talk to you later privately about some ideas. But one thing I want to mention now, because it may affect other people in the room, what is the prospect or the possibility for those of us who, as mission signers, might want to object to the process and not the class action suit because as a violation of civil rights, the attorneys could be paid if we win. And in particular, what I'm thinking of is the rule that says that the signature has to be legible and has to match the original way you signed. My signature is pretty illegible whenever I sign it. I'm sure when I originally signed it was illegible. So it sounds like a catch-22. If you can read my name, it doesn't match the original signature. If you can't read it, then it doesn't match the printed name.
Yeah, actually, the court decision was to me, it's clearly an error. It doesn't match what the statute says. Statute says you can sign either as you sign on your voter registration card or in a certain form, Douglas E. McNeil, T.E.B. Pickens, whatever, with an initial, one full name, and your given name. Election board disallowed signatures that match. Your signature. They only allow this other form, the Douglas E. McNeil signature, which happens to be how I sign it. So
You're saying the law actually says either or, not and.
It says or, and they disallow the one and get the other. We have very good factual guns. That's one of the things. We also have, we're worried about losing our registered voters. I think it's, I've long thought it is illegal for the board elections to change any voter's party affiliation. We also have claim that I'm tracking down now that I don't know if it was, I believe it was raised in the federal lawsuit on this, that clearly violates the Voting Rights Act, the Federal Voting Rights Act, because it says that you can't disqualify voters for trivial reasons, like how they sign their names and things like that. So we have a whole bunch of claims. We're going to be talking about Brian Bittner is also a ballot access expert like I am. We're going to be discussing which claims we should bring. Should we combine them? Should we have separate lawsuits? Procedural issues as well as substantive issues. We got to figure out what we're going to do about this. And we're going to have to do it quickly because the 27th is, we'll know by then, and we're going to have to move quickly or some of the election boards may disaffiliate you. You may get a letter from the election board, as I have in the past, that the Libertarian Party is no longer qualified. You're changed. You're no longer registered as a Libertarian. You're registered as unaffiliated. Yes,
well, let me understand. They want a signature that is not
yes. In a word, yes. Yeah, there's all kinds of issues on this. I think we have a very good case in several aspects. And we're going to be talking about how this can go through. That's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. How we can make this happen so we don't end up with only the Democrats and the Republicans getting one candidate. So if you're interested in coming to the meeting, and
you want to give the location again? Location of the meeting, where? Those getting captured, where is it going to be?
Because I didn't say it because I had directions and I printed sheets with directions. If you can come to the meeting, come up to me, I will give you a sheet with the directions to where.
Yeah, but it's a general idea, Baltimore City, Annapolis.
Baltimore City. Okay. It's in Baltimore City. It's actually in the same zip code I live in.
Any more questions for Doug? Very good. Thank you, Doug.
If you have questions, I'll be around.
Ron, was your question answered?
I'm curious as to how many paid petitioners there have been and how many signatures paid petitioners collected?
There were five. Andy Jacobs, Paul Frankel,
Daryl Bonner, who is collecting signatures right now, a friend of his, Quentin, I forget his last name, and somebody else. I basically subcontracted this out. I was not going to go through what I went through 4 years ago with 9 people who I've never met calling me all hours of the night. I need to get paid. This guy's promising me X and Y. I did it with Andy and Daryl. I said, if you need anybody else who subcontract out, I need 1,000 signatures a week. Get it done. And they did. So,
how many signatures were collected by Dave?
All but about 1,000. Give thanks to Jim Lark when you see him at Bill Redpath. The Libertarian National Committee gave us almost $27,000, 2% of the full annual budget, to get this done. They did this because we've been running candidates, we've been aggressive about it, and it put our name on the map, because they didn't give us anything back in 2006 to get this done. And Arkansas had, they're doing a ballot drive in Arkansas, and they didn't give any money for that. So they've been very picky. There's a big movement in the LNC not to fund ballot access for certain states. So Jim Lark was a major player in getting that done. Mr. Castagnaga.
Just to highlight a point, the fact that we've been running for any candidates that really run, they run for real, is actually part of the reason why we have so many of them to see.
Yeah.
It has been confirmed, Doug, and I think you will, that every time we run candidates in any area, our registrations go up. The fact that we ran actually received statewide.
Yeah. Indeed. Which leads me to my next point, the elections in 2012. We will have seats open for the 8 U.S. House seats as well as the 1 Senate seat. I hope most of you who ran in 2010 do run again. We will be holding nominations later this year during our picnic and next year at the convention. Something to think about. In the meantime, odd number of years, you generally have a lot of municipal elections in the country. This year is no different. We have 157 self-governing municipalities in this state alone. Our vice chair, Muir Boda, is running for the Salisbury City Council. His election is on April the 5th. Top three get elected to Salisbury City Council. This is a winnable race. Muir is doing everything possible. He's going door to door. He's raised $3,300. He's been going to the meetings regularly. This would be nice to get this on. Get us on the map with this. I'm going to be heading down to help out on Election Day. If anyone else wants to help out, please see Muir. Baltimore City. Baltimore City, Annapolis, Frederick, Hagerstown will also be having elections. So,
yes.
Right. Well, the Board of Elections is aware of that because I've spoken with Mary Wagner. You know, everything's on hold because Baltimore City is a partisan election. Unlike most municipal elections, Baltimore is partisan. So that is something I'm aware of. After the hell of the ballot access is done, hopefully my last time on this, we need to start running some local meetings, the old Libertarian Drinking and Debating Society meetings. Nothing formal. I'm going to be organizing one in the Dundalk area. Not every month, but every 2 or 3 months, just to get together. If you want to have a meeting, please let me know. We'll get it out with the announcement. I can get you names and addresses of state Libertarians. There are about 100 dues-paying members. There are probably 250 Libertarian Party-only members in the state. So, you know, more than enough people to get a group going. The Campaign for Liberty. We have got to tap into this group. I was at the CPAC meeting at the Libertarian Party booth in February. They are phenomenally organized. They have the numbers. They have the money and the organization and the conventional Republicans, if you will, are scared to death of these guys. Every speech they gave in CPAC, they were the first sentence, they were always saying something negative about Ron Paul. And it was just a young movie. I mean, it was fascinating to see college-age kids treating this guy as could be their grandfather like a rock star. They could have carried him off that stage literally on their shoulders if they had their way. And the conventional Republicans are frightened to death of Ron Paul. We have got to tap into this crowd. Please get involved in your local Campaign for Liberty meeting. I'm in the Baltimore group. I know the Gostin Yagas attend those. Robin Grammer, who could not attend today because we're having a strategy meeting to which they were kind enough to invite me, so he couldn't attend, is very sympathetic with our group.
I would say that Robin was 100% libertarian. Before the media, the candidate,
yeah.
No Republicans.
Yeah, we can, and there are quite a few Republicans, you know, in this group of conventional Republicans. You know, I've talked to some of these people. I was just saying to the mirror, you know, this great Tea Party Republican, Andy Harris, he voted appropriations for the appropriations for Afghanistan. He supported the extension of the Patriot Act. One of the first two platforms of the Campaign for Liberty, non-interventionist policy and civil liberties, in addition to sound money, constitutional government, and free markets. We've got to get this group on our side. We can double our numbers overnight if we can get these people on our side. So please do get involved with that. Anybody have any questions, any comments?
I just said that Andy Harris does not identify himself as a Tea Party Republican.
Oh, he does not?
He does not.
Okay, I apologize.
I listened to an interview with him 2 weeks ago on the radio down in Salisbury. The host actually brought it up, and he made no move to say, well, I agree with the Tea Party, or he's not actively associating himself at all.
Okay, thank you for letting me know that. I thought he had.
Maybe here and there in the campaign he might have, but he is not now.
Mr. Krawchuk. No, we have not yet.
We do that in Pennsylvania. We have some belonging to our ballot access coalition. And like you say, they're great guys.
Yeah.
So you may want to consider that.
I will. The opportunity to get the money came all at once. I had to move real quick to get it before the opportunity evaporated, so I didn't really have a chance to get involved with them to do it. And looking back on it, I wish I could have. No question about it.
I have to say, just based on what I witnessed, that Andy Harris is a darling of Baltimore County, Harford County Tea Party.
Well, not down in my area.
You're being claimed for something.
Oh, yeah. Basically, yeah.
We had a guy.
And I've worked with Andy Harris for the last 4 years. He's not thinking about this stuff. He's not telling his Tea Party. He is for smaller government, but he's been staunch.
Those two Tea Parties were just crazy about
him. They were crazy about him because they didn't want the other guy. They're not crazy about him.
Well,
they're not. They didn't want to do what's his name.
Well, was that the Tea Party or was that the AFP?
The AFP was very much involved in
It split down in our area because we had a guy running for Congress, Rob Fisher, who was from Salisbury. And yeah, down there, a lot of it. It's like I went to the meeting after the primary with Rob Fisher and Jim Rutherford's law, and I think there was only like about 20 people there after there had been like 150 every week.
The larger point I wanted to make about this, and nothing against Mr. Harris any more than Mr. Cradiville, is this. There are a lot of conventional Republicans that we need to infiltrate, for lack of a better term, the Campaign for Liberty. There are a lot of Republicans in that movement. And we've got to get these people on our side because the five tenets of the Campaign for Liberty certainly fit within the Libertarian platform. And the Republicans are desperate to get that.
And AFP, too.
I'm sorry, but there's a really important point that I think got lost in that last exchange. Saying that the Tea Party has preferred Andy over the other candidate seems to peculiarly ignore the fact that we had a candidate for that office. That means they preferred him over our candidate as well.
Yeah, and that's the issue. No, it does, because your candidate increased by 20% the votes he got.
Yeah, Andy Harris, or Dr. Davis got 10,600 votes.
Yes,
out of the Tea Party.
No, a lot of them did support him down in our area.
We're talking about the Tea Party.
You don't know. You see, this is the same thing with Republicans. Every time I get into a dust up with Republicans, you're stealing our voters. I said, can you identify and tell me that? Come on, you don't own any voters, and you don't know where any other votes are coming from.
Well, that's why I was asking. I mean, you said they liked him because they didn't like the other candidate.
Right.
And I'm saying our job is to make them to like our candidate rather than the other candidate.
But your candidate said, and he was very sincere, he didn't win to run, and he's winning for protest. And when it comes to political things, the people realize that you're making a statement and not winning to run.
But that's fine. But that's an explanation we needed to know. Because, you see, that may have been a mistake.
But nonetheless, the bigger point I've been trying to make is we need to get involved with the Campaign for Liberty. This is a built-in libertarian group, awful close, that we need to bring into our fold to increase our numbers and our organization. I was really impressed down at CPAC with their organization and their passion, and we definitely need to tap into this. I think a lot of people are sympathetic to it.